it's already happened.
If this was in our circumstance, we would be issuing the awarding a four-year degree to someone that says St. Petersburg Junior College, and I'm not sure if that's something which...
I think you're the only one that actually had that nomenclature. I think everyone else is a community college. But that's a whole chain of college now.
Yes, and what else from the girl is right. There, it's not any different than what he's doing now. I'm just asking him to give it from one board to the other board, the same level board. And we, in the spirit of Cape this way, we all want to work together. I don't really see, I mean, I don't see how that would affect you, because I don't, maybe I'm being naive in what I think.
Just comment on the process. First of all, I wonder why this is even an issue in access task force. I can't figure out anything that it
might have. That's what kind of me is the suspicious card.
I mean...
Well, who put it in?
Well, he's right.
It's not me. I didn't have it early.
Anyway, it's been discussed. Call the question if it didn't belong to him.
Well, let's take it out.
We're three.
Well, I'll say the two boards are trying very hard to work it out to the best interest of the citizens and not to have conflict. And we certainly don't want anything settled in the courts. We want to settle it between the two.
Well, so little eye comes out, so that is a good thing.
Okay.
We can just go to some kind of thing.
Take it out.
Take it out. Take it out.
All right, single eye.
Taking a single eye. Now we're back to the only other question that I've raised. The roll call comes out, and what issue with our cap? And we'll skip over that. By the way, the community colleges have blocked the Board of Education's strategic plan that includes a 20% cap, which they haven't really got to remember. But I think our board has made it clear that we don't probably aren't in a mind to prove that level of cap. So I think the Chancellor Armstrong is to be able to articulate what we, how we communicated that. But at the moment, out of a universe of 800,000 students, we offer several hundred baccalaureate degrees in the community college system. So it's not exactly like 20% would be in the magnitude of 160,000 kids versus the 800 or 1,000 that we're currently educating. So it's not exactly bumping up against anything at the moment.
One thing, though, to be careful on that is that it's how it's measured and how you define it. Because I can tell you, because we have the first ones at this, is that if you go to one of our graduations, the number of graduates from our bachelor's degree program is a percentage of the whole graduation class is much higher than the percentage of the number of bachelor's degree seeking students compared to the whole student body. And so we want to be real careful of that. And you know, when we went through the dental hygiene program, which is a state program, and some of these technology programs, they're on a more structured format to them where a person starts semester one. And they have to continue through the process. The next time they can come in is semester one of the following year. And they graduate as a class, and they tend to stay on their timetable as to when they're graduating. So you have a big graduating class. We may have gone, as a matter of fact, I would say in our last graduation, over 10% of the students there were bachelor degree awarded students, but in graduation.
Can I make a suggestion to advance this discussion? In 3i, can I suggest we put a period after the name?
Yeah.
And that we change, may not change, to must apply for accreditation with the community college name. The community college, 3i would now read, the community college approved to grant a bachelor degree must maintain its primary mission and must apply for accreditation in the community college in its name. Does anybody disagree with that? Not that the way it would read the next draft. One way to deal with very controversial issues. patients and take them out. I guess
that's
a
fundamental compromise.
And then lastly, in terms of hot issues, let me deal with the question of alternative funding. I think we generally have a consensus on that, and it's supported by our speakers today, but on page 6 in item 3B, we propose that we explore and ask that local communities, that we explore alternative funding mechanisms, essentially. And I just want to make sure that's an one-way line, and two-way is prioritizing essentially joint use in PICO.
So, thank you. Don't you file cashier and we file cashier? Obviously, we agree together that that's not fine. But then you say you give devolution to the board to take
these. No, this is state money being allocated for capital expenditure.
We're talking about the PICO that says.
Oh, right.
So, but we give devolution to our boards of trustees to prioritize their PICO list. So we're going to say to them now, I'm just saying I'll get a lot of information on this as we elect them now. So we'll get the list from the universities. I guess you get your list from the community colleges, right, David? But we're going to tell them how they have to prioritize it. This is a devolution issue, too, that my choice if we can take out.
Well,
I don't want to hear from Lee and everybody else.
Let's just stay on little I first and make sure we have a total consensus on that, and let's go on to little I. Because I think this is something that we've discussed, and I only raise it because it's a big deal. Not that there's a controversy on this task force. Seems to me that if an educational institution persuades local jurisdiction to put something on the ballot, God bless it. But they've done ones that I'm aware of, and it was effective and it's a reasonable model in Miami. Anybody have any exceptions to this?
Why limited time options for support?
Probably because that was the model we were working off of. It was done that way and it worked.
Well, I think you have to put a limit on it, don't you?
Can you actually think you have a certain solution? And
well, that's what a limited time would be.
That's it. Thank you. Can we vote on it?
Well, limited time would be the in essence of sunset. Okay, so hearing no objection, let's move on to the other one.
So you've already heard by telling me that. But it's just the opposite of devolution, which our board has supported.
Okay. Anybody have any other point of view on Kimberly? I think what we're trying to do is promote the institutions working together in their roots and essentially trying to promote joint use. I would have thought,
yes. Is the current process that allows for technologies if they're boards can agree on joint use to bring to the commission their priorities that they would come off of the top. So they don't always agree that that's just our priorities, but you've got to have a voice right now where one side of the equation will make it a number 5 priority and one will make it a number 1. So,
again, I don't know why they
the process we have here at the state level, frankly, allows for it. And if it's good, they've just got to get their act together and vote one of our major priorities.
We're saying that the institutions have to make it their top priority before we can put it
off.
Another way would be that there's, you know, the
They, community colleges, one of them have some charges. Everybody wins. Then if they agree, it doesn't get charged against the top priority of either that university or that separate program.
Separate law.
And then the board of governors can decide in the big scheme of things.
I would be able to say.
I think that's a good point with that. I just don't want to disturb the evolution. But both have one way.
So, yeah, somebody read the way it was now written based on that recommendation. I like it. Somebody want to read the way it was written? Commissioner, you said it.
Okay, I'll try to say it once again. What are we on, 2F? Based on community college and university institutional level agreements, Board of Governors and State Board of Education shall give special consideration to joint use facilities without charging it against either institution's project.
So then it would pass this, your player board, your player, and your board.
We're all in together with those instruments.
Yeah, I think that is a great incentive in the spirit of that step.
That takes care of my list of hottest items that are relatively limited. And so the question is now, do we want to go back through the recommendations of the year or instead also the year? I've got 35 minutes left of our self-imposed
on page 4, at the top of the page, B, it says ensure institutional support of targeted programs, and single I, you have Florida legislature should provide some kind of institution. This is where I think we need to define institutions and expanding institutions. Are we, is it appropriate to include the private institutions, vocational schools, or whatever? Further discussion I had, Barbara, we need to expand that as a private sector in there also. Also, as we've heard, more and more difficult for a lot of private teacher students to get into the state's tuition systems. This is a certain geographical area, too.
But you said we're fostering access, the more institutions, the better, from our standpoint.
So I'd just like to broaden the institutions to include the private sector as well.
Anybody have any objections to that? That's pretty much in the spirit of what we've been discussing for this whole time.
Maybe someone can give us an explanation, maybe you, Commissioner. I'm kind of confused as far as the private for-profit, okay, like two representatives here today, which pot of money from the state do they have access to? I thought most of the financial aid that was talked about is a federal pot of money. I didn't realize it was a state pot of money.
So there is a lookalike drag grant, which is now called ABLE, which is the for-profit eligible institutions have to be Florida-based, and there are accredited and Florida-based, and there's a small per diem, but it's, I mean, per head, it's probably $3 million today. Small of the great still depends large for any of us. But so the for-profits have now, they have to be Florida-based. So that's Kaiser, yes. Phoenix, no.
May also participate in the FSA.
we also can participate in Bright Futures, but that's very limited coverage.
That different operating missions than what public and private not-for-profits do. And I think there is, you know, a concern about how much government dollars go to, especially if they're coming out of potentially public education dollars or private not-for-profit dollars that go to for-profit corporations. And I have that concern. I'm for everyone making a buck and having good business, but it shouldn't come from the government. Funds and logistics, as far as I'm concerned.
But student choice, pursuing an occupation, getting a job, having good outcomes, providing access to students, and that's really what we're talking about. For the student pursuing a program, the student pursuing, having the financial needs. And, you know, if there's finite dollar amount tied to it, what's the difference if a student gets $1,000 grant, whether they go over here or over here? The student's making that decision where they take that $1,000 grant. It's not that, you know, it's tied to any percentage of tuition or anything like that, you know, X dollars.
I think that the real description that I would make is not the profit or nonprofit status, but the accreditation and the quality of that education.
One thing about accreditation is but once you start talking about accreditation, then there are those arguments, national accreditation versus regional accreditation. And when all accreditation goes to the U.S. Department of Ed, they're the ones that define the quality. And then everybody else can get into their own terms with national, regional, programmatic, etc. So, I think if you talk about accreditation, you should limit it to those agencies that are recognized by the United States Department of Education.
Well, anybody else want to chime in on this?
Well, I think you're going to have a big series of arguments about proprietary institutions getting state money. There's a position paper today from the Susan Lear that the California president opposed to any legislation that's going to give financing to proprietary institutions. So, you want to separate out proprietary from the nonprofits to make a distinction?
I might just comment that at a single point, if there was funding, of course we want to provide the student and follow the student with some funding. However, there's not enough state funding for our state institutions. I mean, we're not talking about the brag, we're talking about real profit.
Okay, but it actually just came up in the comment that they have to or do you want to take the position of carving out the proprietary using the amount of this equation? Criteria or for-profit?
For-profit.
Proprietary is for-profit. So just leaving this, whatever extra assistance is given to vocational or private schools that are non-profit. And I think you probably can make it more palatable.
I want to be on the record of being totally opposed to that, not because it's not fair to the student. It's not fair to the student. And once again, it's just putting it notice that there's any need change or any new opportunities.
Let me just be clear how this argument or this discussion is being framed. It's about FSAG grants and to whom what institution should they go or not go. And if I just suggest that if we're an access task force that is student centered, we care.
We're going to
make it.
It's a quality.
It's a quality issue.
Education is just bad.
Well, I think there's other things to consider too. There's a different outlook in a proprietary than a public education institution. I can tell you this, we will not send a collection report to a collection agency to collect tuition that may be owed to us from a student. Okay? That will not go on their permanent, no, the judgment won't
like any of us to prepare to offer the much authority of that gives more certainty or less certainty than the university would send in my transcript. So they need to send a collection agent to get academic proof that everyone's in school is what I pay. So, you know, that's one piece I need a job. I'd rather have a collection agent to actually do a good job.
Probably they send the transcript on, then they also send it to them.
Philosophical issues that I agree that the statement that the students go into a place to get a bona fide degree, get on a job or recognize or whatever, in order that it's sweet. Recognize, you know, the reality is there's not enough money in that business for everybody to come to get it. And the benefits to the public institutions is it allows them to kind of build the financial needs. Draw from institutional financial aid, FSAG, Cal, work study, and by kind of helping them, you know, make use of all the different areas. So it's not just like necessarily a problem. It's a way of giving a boost to the citizens in Florida into a nonprofit type of institution to be able to do exactly the same. So, I would recommend that we would say that we ought to favor the broadest possible need-based financial aid program without necessarily saying how to split out that need-based program. I suspect a lot of the kids did dedicate the time period, 2 year vocational programs and all of pretty darn needy to start with. So, I think we ought to make a statement of having a broad base of policy, and then when we start actually narrowing down numbers or where we want to be, we may need to just step right. We certainly need to do this for work.
Okay, not agree yet.
Yeah, I think we all have. I think we're eager to do that.
company, it's just, it is what it is.
Establish a point of cost.
Yeah. So basically, and
yeah, you know, point of cost.
No, but also these regional, but also versions of a regional process that seems to be working and needs to be emulated probably. We all reported what's going on in Central Florida. It's formally gone on, informally with many other places that we've already talked about today, and we've actually encouraged that.
I'm not discouraging a regional opportunity. I'm just saying if the regional opportunity doesn't work, I'd like to, or government to have an opportunity to find maybe an institution that's not in the region that has the opportunity. As was said, by the way, when the client provides that, in the region that has that mission. So I don't think that would be any different than ICUS schools are there.
We took that to the lines to avoid this discussion, I thought. I think that's where we are.
I think that's why I misunderstood. I thought we took out the whole section.
I thought you had to fix it.
Well,
since you want to reintroduce it, I'd like to.
Okay.
The chairman.
I think the rest of the test was for
us.
We'll look at it for later. Go ahead.
First of all, I think that the first item on the regional, needs to really be lifted up because, we have other structures that are supporting it, like the decision, like the decision. The issue that I have with creating another step in the process is we do that now. In other words, an institution cannot come to us, and if they say nobody wants to provide it, they will provide it. My first question is, who's going to and so on, bring in staff of the Board of Governors to help do the same thing, because we don't want to do an end run. They cannot establish the information for that. And the programs that we have tried to negotiate, the universities, the reluctant universities, to that have been failed. Thank you.
don't have agreement on this right now. You don't have the board of governors
Let me just suggest that board governors, we have every reason to want to work with the board of governors, but the current state of the law is that they don't have a role in a 40-year degree situation for community colleges. I think it's our desire to work something out with them so that they do get involved in that process if they're not currently involved in it. But that doesn't mean that this task force shouldn't have a point of view.
I think we need to include it. If there should be
the move regional plants up to number one and make number two just be down with all the changes we made until there's some agreement, some other agreement between the interested parties. The interested parties that aren't in this negotiation are the plaintiffs in the lawsuit. Thank you.